Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Corumdale Church.
Hello.
And Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church of Bellevue, Nebraska. And we're joined by our friend, Bethany Gilbert. And every Wednesday, we sit down and we talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about LuLaRoe and the church.
It's very manly conversation, this.
It's about to get real up in here. All right. This is a question from a listener. We had a listener email and just say, hey, can you guys talk about multi-level marketing? She actually said LuLaRoe. But LuLaRoe is only one of many multi-level marketing companies. And these create some interesting challenges and problems within churches. And so we're going to talk about it. And we're going to probably make at least 30% of our listeners mad. But 30% of our listeners are going to really be happy that we talked about this topic. And everyone needs to think about it. So the article that Mike sent me, which I assume maybe the listener sent this to you and then you forwarded it?
Yes, a listener emailed me and I forwarded it to you guys, and now we're talking about it.
It's an article from...
It pays off to email
it's
us.
It's like a piece of investigative journalism from Quartz. The title is, Multi-Level Marketing Companies Like LuLaRoe Are Forcing People Into Debt and Psychological Crisis.
Wow.
So it's a little bit a little clickbaity headline. I'm not going to kid you. But the article is very good. Here's the article's essential, and it focuses on LuLaRoe as sort of the point of the article, but here's the sort of broad strokes of the article. There are 20 million Americans right now participating in direct sales through multi-level marketing. So that's a big chunk of the population. This includes things like Herbalife, Plexus, Young Living, Pampered Chef, Rodan and Fields, yada, yada, yada. There's a bunch of these. Back in the old days, it was Avon and Mary Kay, and, you know, it's all that kind of stuff. This article basically is saying these flourish disproportionately in suburban and rural America. One of the fascinating stats in the article is there's only 10 LuLaRoe consultants in all of Manhattan, 1.64 million people. But Pueblo, Colorado has the same number for its 110,000 people. So, yeah, it's one of those things that obviously flourishes sort of in particular contexts. LuLaRoe was founded in 2012, so it's only 5 years old. It's generated $1 billion in sales. So it's a pretty successful little concept. And the article basically follows a few different consultants for LuLaRoe and observes the ways that multi-level marketing companies can be full of high expectations that don't deliver. The Federal Trade Commission observes that 99% of people who join multi-level marketing companies lose money. Huh. But, man, these things are all the rage. And the listener who asked us to talk about this said, hey, I get a Facebook invite for a LuLaRoe party about once a week. Is this the real deal, Bethany?
This is true. I envy you guys because you probably don't get invited to these things.
I certainly like don't.
That's what we. But my wife does.
Yeah. We need to start a man-focused.
Yeah, that was
MLM.
Is there any?
I'm sure there's some
focused...
getting started right now.
Yeah.
Beard oil. There are some
beard
coming,
oil. Okay.
Coming next week.
There
Bethany, keep going.
No, it's the two things on Facebook are politics and for women,
and
MLM,
and
like
MLM.
LuLaRoe and Senegence or LipSense or something. I don't know. It's awful.
So interestingly, the article observes that when LuLaRoe was new, people who got in on sort of the ground floor experienced a huge income. Like the Chronicle's one woman who's a stay-at-home mom in Florida who was making $24,000 a month in sales, but that this year... the market has become saturated, and so now that everybody's jumping on board, it's harder and harder. Like, you know, you have seven people you know who are a consultant, and so they're all competing with each other, and it's harder to make the money that sort of you get advertised to make. So that's a summary of the article. You can go read it if you want. What we wanted to do was use the article as a way into the conversation about why this jacks up community in the church, or how this jacks up community in the church. And so here's what we want. If you are a consultant for a multi-level marketing company, whether it's doTERRA, LuLaRoe, Arbonne, whatever.
Amway.
We want you to practice your sales in a healthy way. And if you're not a consultant in one of these companies, we want you not to feel like to be a good Christian, you have to go to every party that someone invites you to in your church. And that's where things can start to get real funny, is because a lot of Christians are attracted to these things, because it really is a way that you can make money while staying at home and, you know, sort of like a side business. A lot of churches get infiltrated with people who are into these things, and that can really get messy. And it can get hurtful, and it can get challenging, and the social dynamics start to become, I think, something that can work against the gospel when we're not very thoughtful and very careful. Bethany, before we turn the mics on, you were sharing about a story in your own gospel community that sort of illustrated that.
Yeah. So this was a number of years ago. We had a really large gospel community, and so I can tend to be more quiet in larger groups. And so one of the women in the gospel community invited me over for coffee one morning, and I was just like, oh, that's so nice. Like, I felt it felt really nice that she reached out to me, and she was just like, come on over, we'll have coffee and we'll chat. So I was like, oh, that's great. So I went over to her house, and within like the first 30 seconds of like coming in, she was like, all right, we'll go to the dining room. And we went to the dining room, and on the table were a bunch of Arbonne products. And I was just like, oh, that's why I'm here. You want my money, or you want me to help make you money? And it left a really bad taste in my mouth and was hurtful. And like, I was like, oh, she doesn't want a relationship, like a friendship. She wants my business. And yeah, so I think that can be really complicated.
Well, and this is exactly where these things create pain and tension, is that you feel used,
mm-hmm.
right? You feel like, oh, this person doesn't want a relationship. What they want is another person in their downline. And no matter how hard people try to work against that, that is inevitable. And multi-level marketing companies, of course, work. They are encouraging you to sort of work through your network of your family, your friends, people in your tribe. I mean, it's the people that you know that you're going to sort of try to pull into that. And so, again, I think people can do that in a mature and healthy way. But the challenge is, anytime it happens like that, right, mm-hmm. it feels crummy. And you feel like, oh, this person, what I thought was an opportunity to build a real friendship and like someone reaching out to me because they really cared,
mm-hmm.
is actually someone reaching out to me because they have a profit motive. And that's... not necessarily as godly.
Or now the friends I do have, it just got really weird with.
Right.
Because if they don't like it, then that changes our friendship. So there has to be a different angle.
Yeah, because when you read stories about those who have been successful, and I know somebody on the East Coast who has done one that, I don't know the name of it, but super successful. But to do that, you have to throw your all into it. It's almost like you have to become an evangelist for this product.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes such a part of who you are and almost like your identity. I sell this product and everything's kind of built around it. For to have friends or have people you know to say, hey, you know, I don't want that, can almost be like this personal attack. Well, you're against me trying to make money or trying to be financially independent. And so there, it just gets the mixture of identity pieces here for those who are all in on this. Because I've met and know a lot of people who do this kind of casually on the side. And it almost seems like, oh, if I don't have any need for Arbonne, but, you know, Mindy goes to some of these parties and she's never had any like conflict with anybody because those people have typically just kind of done it casually. But the people that are super successful, this just takes a whole new level. And so if you run up against that situation, it just becomes an odd dynamic.
Well, and here, let's talk even more deeply about what happens, especially in Christian circles. That evangelistic passion for my product or my sort of thing gets weirdly intertwined with sort of spiritual dynamics, to where like, what do you mean you don't want to come to my party? Like, I thought you wanted to see me do well. I thought you were for me. I thought you wanted my kids to be able to go to college when they grow up, you know? And so I can use these weirdly sort of spiritual motivations or prey on your sort of Christian convictions. It becomes a subtle form of manipulation. And I'm always reminded in these conversations of Jesus' words of let your yes be yes and your no be no. For this to work healthily in the church, I have to be okay giving people freedom to say yes or no, and not like trying to manipulate them, cajole them, coerce them, mm-hmm. using, hey, I thought we were in gospel community together. I thought, you know, I thought you were for me.
I thought we were in community yeah. together.
I thought this is part of what communities do. Like we help each other, you know? It can get real weird and real funny real fast. And I think become something that really, as in your story, Bethany, like it works against the gospel, right? It's something that makes me back up from community and go, well, that's not what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in a business relationship. I'm interested in actual gospel friendship.
Yeah. And if you are someone who's all in with this and that's become maybe your business and a primary source of income, which is fine. I mean, you should work hard and throw yourself into things, but just be careful that your entire identity isn't wrapped up in the success of this. And, you know, to use a parallel, I can remember, you know, planting First City and thinking of certain people that I would love to come on this church plant, even friends, and then them saying no, because yeah, probably wasn't the best thing for them. And I had to guard my heart, like, hey, I take that personally because I am so invested in this thing. And that those are just sort of moments where it's like, oh, my identity has been so wrapped up in this. And so just be careful if you find yourself in that position where you have to go.
You're
all
talking
in.
To the 1% of people the who 1% actually people, make money.
Yes. Yes.
But that's a very 1%. Small segment of our listeners who are actually making money in this. But I respect that.
Who's probably listening to Forbes?
The other 99% just need to quit.
Just give up. Give up.
Unsaturate the market.
Unsaturate yes. the market.
At certain people just become millionaires. plant churches.
Plant some more churches. We got Dusty and I have stories to tell about this.
Oh, you get invited word. To Arbonne all the time?
No. This is
there's one.
See, we have personal knowledge of this.
One, oh my goodness.
15 years ago, Dusty and I led a college ministry here in town together, and a bunch of the young college dudes in our ministry got into this Amway stuff. Oh, it was Quickstar, which is like a subset of Amway.
Yeah.
And it was like energy drinks and like all the stuff that like young college guys are into, like
Will
energy drinks
story?
And protein powder.
I'm just going to whisper things that we heard.
Oh my gosh. And listen, like the most likable, extroverted, dynamic people in our ministry got into this, which means like then all the shy people who like feel pressured by those people are naturally going to get into it also because they're too shy to say no and they don't know how to like, you know, push back against this very extroverted, winsome person.
All the dude bros,
and
basically,
so dude,
right?
Like we seriously had to have an intervention in our college ministry. We had to sit some of our leaders down and just say, "Hey, you have to choose between Jesus and Quickstar."
But
and it's really that stark. It's really that stark, and it got like. It was to the point where I would sit in a coffee shop trying to work on a sermon and I would overhear right over here at the other table, you know, some guy trying to sign up someone else for the multi-level marketing. And I would want to turn around and go like, hey, whatever he's saying right now, it's not, none of it is true. Like just get up and walk out. Just
I heard one of those in Panera a couple of weeks ago. It's creepy. It was a creepy conversation.
We had this particular one, they had a combined like meeting. Air quotes that involved like worship.
Yeah.
Like they would really get their people pumped up.
Yeah.
It got, I will call it worship because that's what it was.
Well, and so it culminated in Dusty and I meeting with the guy in Omaha that was like the guy at the top of the pyramid, you know, the guy at the top of
the 1% guy
who was like a 50-year-old guy from some other church who was like, you know, this is what he does with his life is he recruits 20-year-old guys to sell stuff for him.
And it was a throwdown.
It was a meeting Dusty still tells stories about to this day.
I'm just saying, ministry is not for pansies after that meeting. I felt like a lawyer.
I went toe-to-toe with that guy and basically was just like, hey, man, just call your thing a church because that's what it is. Like, that's what you're worshiping. Yikes. You have, like, motivational speeches from the Bible. And then you go out and it's like, that's a cult, man. That's not a business.
And make a lot of money off of our kids.
Did you drop the, why can't you be that excited for Jesus line?
No,
Jesus Jukem.
I was real into ecclesiology at that point, and so I kept pressing him on like, what elders do you submit to? Because he would say, well, I go to XYZ local church, and so I'm a part of my church, but this is something else. And I would say, what elders do you? I just kept pressing him back to what elders are you submitted to? And he got real upset.
Let's just say we didn't end in prayer.
We ended with him storming out.
We did get a while. I mean, a couple years later. We did receive a letter from a young man who did thank us for trying to talk him out of it in the long run.
So all that to say, there's not necessarily anything wrong with these businesses in and of themselves. People are free in their own conscience to pursue these kinds of opportunities. But within the church, this complicates and corrupts community in some really subtle ways. And we need to be honest about that. And we need to seek some sort of a healthy, what sort of a healthy way of interacting with people and having true community in the midst of folks who are consultants for these different multi-level marketing businesses.
So Bethany is one who receives a lot of invites.
Facebook invites.
How do you think, what does this look like? Like, how do you, what would it look like for you to experience it in a non-obnoxious way, or a way that you think isn't kind of corrupting community and making things weird? Because I'm just curious from like someone who's actually experiencing this regularly, we talk about it kind of hypothetically.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I think it's kind of just going back to what you were saying, Bob, like if you put an invite out or you have a party and you invite women or friends from your GC or from your church and they don't show up, I mean, they don't hate you. Yeah, it's just, don't take it as personally as you might want to actually take it. It's, I think the other thing to keep in mind is like, I mean, you're a retailer, so you're selling something. And so you want your friends, you want your brothers and sisters in Christ to be wise with their money. And so you're asking for them to buy a product, and I guess honor the fact that they might not be able to afford it, or
Dave Ramsey might not be supportive of their purchase.
Exactly.
They don't have money in the envelope this month.
Exactly.
The LuLaRoe envelope.
You got a separate envelope for that.
Yes.
Dave would be proud.
Yeah.
Hashtag Dave's proud.
This is a fascinating article, or a sentence in the article. MLMs have become part of the fabric of suburban America, as cherished and inevitable as barbecues and the county fair.
Oh, that's so sad.
Zinger.
And it sounds like from the women in our church, like at least on Facebook, that's true. They're inevitable. You're going to get invited to a party at least once a month from someone, neighbor, friend from church, someone you know in the Christian community who is having a party for LuLaRoe or some other MLM.
Yeah. Having a party / just giving you products, trying to entice you.
Well, and here's the other thing. The paragraph goes on to read, not buying a pair of leggings can be read as unsupportive of your friends or not chipping in for a local kid's chemotherapy. It's a genius manipulation of rural and suburban American societal norms. And I think that's where Christian women have to be honest, that no matter how disarming you are, if you invite friends in your church to a retail event, you're trying to sell them something, be it Pampered Chef or leggings or whatever it is, you're inviting people to come and buy something, they feel some level of guilt in saying no.
Yeah.
They feel some, like there's, it's very hard for people to just say, no, I'm not going to come to that, and not feel any shred of like, but I really should, because like, guilt is a part of that, and maybe it shouldn't be, and maybe if we were all really mature in the gospel and confident in ourselves, we'd be able to say no without feeling guilty, but guilt is a part of that dynamic, and so it takes a great amount of gospel maturity for people to be disarming in how they invite and really okay with, oh, that's cool that you can't come, Bethany, no big deal, and I don't need a reason of like, well, how come? Mm-hmm. What's going on? Like, what do you
what
got going
you
on that night?
On?
I don't need to tell you what I've got going on that night. No,
I'm
is a good enough coming. Answer.
I have to mow my lawn again.
You don't have a lawn.
As an example of how some of the pseudo guilt works, Chris brought along an actual email or post from Facebook.
Yeah, so Mindy got this in her email and saw it on Facebook, and she sent it to me. So this is a way to try to get people to jump in and actually buy from those who are selling these MLMs. So here it goes. Something to think about. If your friend sells Mary, try it. If your friend sells Scentsy, try it. If your friend sells LuLaRoe, try it. If your friend sells It Works, try it. Moral of the story. If my friend owned a restaurant, guess what? I would eat there. If a friend of mine owned a bakery, I would go there. If one of my friends owned a dance studio, I would have my children take lessons there. So the next time you're walking into a Yankee Candle, think about your friend who sells Scentsy, who has an 8-month-old baby and trying to buy a house.
Ooh, that's a good play right there.
Next time you walk into Sephora, think about that Rodan and Fields consultant who sells to put herself through college. Next time you go to GNC, think about your friend who sells It Works or Advocare and how she or he works to provide for his family. At the end of the day, these big corporations are going to give absolutely nothing back to you. But when you help a small business owner, you're not only helping them, but you're also helping put money back into our economy. Yo.
Boom. So you can see the sort of real subtle psychological manipulation and preying on, hey, why wouldn't you help your friend instead of going to Yankee Candle? These are all ways of driving guilt, right? That's a great example of, again, okay, it's at one level, that's all true, right? Sure. If my friend has a business, I want to help them. That's what friends do. However, that post is pressuring me that, like, oh, well, I guess if I was going to shop at Sephora, I should go to the Rodan and Fields thing and
shop local. Right?
Like, yeah. In reality, well, I'm kind of free to shop wherever I want. Last time I checked. Mm-hmm.
And if you're buying your candles at Yankee Candle, that's just gross. Like, sure. Yankee Candle is like the high fructose corn syrup of candles. It's gross.
Wow.
That's a good point.
They don't have tobacco flavor candles either.
No, like, they don't.
They don't. Get those.
I've checked.
Yeah.
One of the things this article mentions is the fact that most of these companies rely on the requirement that you buy inventory. Full disclosure, my wife was in a multi-level marketing thing early in our marriage. And so we had inventory in our house because you got to spend money on inventory because you got to have something to sell.
The Longenburger baskets?
No,
which is how they make money.
Not that. That's what the article says is the way that LuLaRoe is making most of their money is by selling product. And these independent consultants have to have inventory. So they got to spend a few thousand dollars to get clothing that they can sell. And sometimes people make decisions that are unwise, like putting it on a credit card and then feeling pressure that I got to sell all this so I can pay off my credit card. So there's some really unwise practices that you can get pulled into just by getting involved in one of these things in ways that are not wise.
Yeah. And then even, you know, being pressured in to pull, like, to recruit others and potentially have these people make unwise financial decisions. I think it's just... It's scary.
I think it's super interesting to me. This goes back to what Chris said. And then Bethany, when you started talking about retail, I started thinking about people who start legitimate businesses they're successful for a reason. And multi-level marketing seems to prey on people who are more like relational and peacekeeping, and they want to do their friend a solid. And so, like, it's interesting to me that the people who start these things are geniuses and they know how to make money, but then to actually make money at this thing, to be the 1%, to what you said earlier about the article, Bob, actually takes a whole lot of, like, skill. Like, you got to throw yourself into this thing as a legit business if you're going to make money. And so it's just interesting to me that the whole thing preys on people who have relationships and friendships, but it's not built by those people.
Yeah, the other piece to it too is, you know, we're talking about financial debt, but this article points at, like, relational debt. Like, these moms just want to earn some side money, but to actually make money, you have to give more time and you have more money towards inventory. And so this woman who sells LuLaRoe pants, she says that she spends every waking moment from when she wakes up, she checks her phone, she's answering questions all day to when she goes to bed. And so even going back to the last two episodes about technology, the way technology is kind of helping women run these businesses, it's causing moms to actually ignore their kids. And so there's relational debt that's involved there that I think women get roped into, specifically with LuLaRoe. That's what this article is talking about.
So this is one of those places where I think I want to encourage a healthy level of character maturity in everyone and say, within a church, here's the freedom that needs to exist. People need to be free to pursue endeavors on the side, but might include multi-level marketing. Okay, great. If you're super jazzed about essential oils or about LuLaRoe clothes or whatever, Great. You have freedom of conscience to pursue that. Everyone around you also has this freedom, needs to have the freedom to say, I think that's dumb, or I'm not interested in that product, or right. Like if you have the freedom of conscience to pursue something, everybody around you also needs the freedom to say, no, that's just not my thing. Or even to disagree with the fact that you're doing it. That's what healthy community has, is that kind of give and take, that kind of freedom of conscience. The gospel is a place the church needs to be a place where the gospel is at the center and where it's uncomplicated by the dynamics of like, oh, I feel pressure to be your friend because we're in the same downline together. And so like all of that stuff complicates and convolutes what real community is. Mm. And so what I think the church needs to be and what Jesus died and rose again to secure for us is a relational familial dynamic that is uncluttered by profit motive. Okay. Mm. All of us are going to buy groceries and all of us are going to buy clothes and all of us are going to buy hair care products and we're all going to do it in various places. And some of us might go to, you know, a multi-level marketing thing to buy it. And some of us might go to Walmart. But so at the end of the day, we're all participating in the economy and we're all free to do that in ways that fit who we are. However, our relationships within the church need to be uncluttered by profit motive. And so if I'm inclined toward your gospel community because you seem like you might be a good prospect for my business, now my motives are conflated, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. I've even seen people join churches and or leave churches based on the potential for multi-level marketing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just getting everything upside down.
That's going to do it for this week's conversation. Bethany, thanks for joining us. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that the things that we've talked about today might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Feel free to shoot us an email, podcast@cdomaha.com. Leave us a review on iTunes.
Invite us to your party.
Yeah. Shoot us an email and invite us to your party.
Invite all these guys to your parties, please.
Would we do like a recording live from a party?
Ooh,
we could. Like
a live Wednesday conversation.
If we can get Bob there, we'll be there.
I will not be there.
It's at Bethany's house.
Just assume Bethany's a no, and we'll let you know if that changes.
Yeah. If you can't join us for the LuLaRoe Wednesday conversation, join us next week for another Wednesday conversation. Yeah, if anybody's selling Dorito LuLaRoe pants, please email me.
Would you wear them if I bought them for you?
I probably can't afford them.
Do not tempt me.
Aren't they like $89 for a pair?
Well, I don't know. It depends on if the consultant's going out of business or not, because they can discount them.
I can get a discount.
Yeah.
Discount Dorito pants.